Hello, and welcome to the weekly podcast of the Community Praise Center Alexandria, Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to teach and inspire you while you listen. Delivering this week's message is Community Praise Center's Senior Pastor, Henry Wright.
How was your week? How was your week? They say that the reason why we look older over time is because we live on a planet that is full of gravity. And gravity, over time, just kind of pulls you down. Things that were up. Go down. Is there a witness in the house? And so we spend great amounts of money propping things up that have gone down. There is also a psychological effect to this pulling down, Pam. For there is another kind of gravity on the earth. Not a scientific force, but there is a psychological and spiritual force over time that pulls us down. We get weary with living on this planet. Now, some people solve the problem by committing suicide. But we know as Christians that's not a solution. Christians look for a way through. Are you with me so far? One of the things that God had in mind, Darrell, when he gave us the Sabbath. The Sabbath, Sri, was planned by God to be another, like a piece of clothing can lift a person. Not being too descriptive and specific. God has given us the Sabbath to lift us. Are you following me so far? To lift us. Because sometimes just 1 week can pull you down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You start the week dead high, positive, Sunday, maybe you get through Monday, but by Wednesday you're starting to feel the drag of the week. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so the Lord, in his wisdom, stuck in this day. Yeah, Judy, we all ought to say, thank you, Lord, to lift us up. Frank, to just kind of pull us up. Now, the devil understanding this, I'm just setting you up for where I'm going. The devil understanding this then does all he can during the week to make sure that by the time the Sabbath comes and you need your lift, that he allows stuff, the devil brings stuff, and God to test you allows stuff that keeps you from getting your lift. So the question I'm asking today is, thus far, have you gotten your lift? Because somebody sitting here today has been distracted the whole service. Your mind is still on that bill you will not pay. See, this week includes the 25th. For some people, that's like doomsday. Between the 25th and the 30th, my brother, the mail starts hitting. You know, and it's not trash. Now it's got stuff on it. You want to throw it away, but you know you can't throw it away. It's a bill. So somebody sitting here right now has not been able, Beatrice, to separate themselves and get the lift. They're worried about something, Sam. Something has gotten in their heads. Listen to your pastor. Not experiencing the lift. As you'll see in a minute, getting that lift is intentional, choir. Sabbath keeping, Richard, is not something you just slip into. You have to make up your mind to remember the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Father, help us out now. Amen. Sometimes when I am reading the Bible, I'm earnestly looking for keys, my brother. Something I never heard before that just hits me. Well, in this series on the Ten Commandments, we've been learning a lot of things. We know that these Ten Commandments are relational, aren't they? Love for God, love to man, we've learned that. We know that. That's very clear to us. We know that the Ten Commandments define sin. And that because of sin, we're having difficulty keeping those commandments. Therefore, as we study today, Carlson, God sent His Son and grace to empower us. God's solution was not to do away, Scott, with the commands, but to give us grace, power. Thank God for power. In other words, God gave you something outside yourself, because let's be honest, let's don't sit here and be pious. There's sometimes you just don't feel like doing right. Come on now. You know you ain't supposed to get mad, but you're just mad anyhow. And you're enjoying being mad. Come on now. Let's be real about it. You know you're acting up, your attitude's not right, but I'm just gonna be like this today. So God sends us grace, something from outside ourselves to help us get over me. Praise the Lord, that's right. We find out that the commandments did not come from the mind and mouth of Moses, but they came from the mind and mouth of God. God wrote them with His own finger and then preserved them, we found out, in the Ark of the Covenant. And we found out that Christ is that I am that gave us that law and then said to us, think not that I came to destroy it. We found that out. And we found that this law, therefore, is something that God will empower us to obey. Then we got into the commandments themselves. Now, here's the golden cord I need you to get today as I deal with the fourth commandment. The first four commandments are more than commandments about how to love God. They are commandments about how to destroy self. See, what sin did to us was to egotize us. We are full of self. And we found out, remember, we found out when the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's not talking about these false gods like Molech and Chemosh and Baal. It's talking about you. The first commandment is about you. Don't put yourself, because the biggest problem God has is not Molech and Chemosh and Baal. Those are just idols. His biggest problem in your life is you. So the first commandment is designed to put you in your place. Don't put you before God. And we learned in that sermon, Brother Dent, that any time you do anything contrary to God's will, in that moment you've made yourself the God. Remember, it was inherent of the temptation. Satan said to Eve, ye shall be as. Talk to me, ye shall be as. He said, Eve, if you do what God says don't do, then you'll be God. And then we learned the second commandment is not just about graven images. We learned that as we studied the Jews, that graven image they first built was a God to lead them in a different direction than God wanted them to go. So the second commandment is about having put yourself in God's place, first commandment. And the second commandment, you break that when you take a direction that God doesn't want you to go. Now, the hardest thing in life, I don't know how long you've lived. I've been around about 71 years. Blew the doctor's mind this week, by the way. Went to get my heart checked. Guess what the pastor's blood pressure is? 116 over 62. Doctor said, what? Then you got the blood pressure of a young man. It's all in the head, doc. It's all in the head. We learned that they wanted to take a different direction than God wanted them to go. And the most difficult thing in life to do is to accept God's leading in your life. Because we have learned He does not lead you the way you pray. Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
And we studied that, remember? They wanted to go north to Palestine. And remember we learned in that sermon that God took them south to the Red Sea to go north? So the second commandment is about your rejecting God's leadership. Then the third commandment we learned, that's got to do with your now having supposedly taken God's name. And not acting like God wants you to act. We found out that God has a pet name for the human race. Overcomer. And that to live up to God's name, you must be an overcomer. Remember that? Now notice how all these commandments are dealing with you. Self. Self. In fact, Richard Gordon, as I've studied this thing, I'm convinced. And it's taken me so long to get there. You know, we keep Al Joyner. You know, we have this list where we shouldn't smoke, shouldn't drink, shouldn't dance, shouldn't go to the show, shouldn't whatever, no pork, no shellfish. I have this list. So that list is unnecessary. Just get yourself in hand. If you get yourself in hand, this other stuff will take care of itself. The problem here is self. So the three commandments thus far are dealing with self and bless your soul. Mark Scott, here we come again, the fourth commandment. I had such a good time the past 2 weeks studying this commandment. This commandment is about self. Let me show you something. Go to Genesis. Man, sin messed us up. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm messed up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, even if you don't say it, they know you are. So you might as well just say it. Yeah. I didn't get my turn. Carlson, I'm messed up. The pastor's messed up. We all messed up. But look at how we started. Look at Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. We start. Now notice. The first thing God did was to put in your mind, put in the human race's mind, you not here on your own. So he makes them in his image. So their first day that they're alive, they're aware that they came from somebody else, that even their good looks came from somebody else. He makes them in his image. Okay? Then the Lord, in verse 27, makes them male and female. So the second thing he did was make them aware of somebody else's presence besides their own. Are you with me? First God, then somebody else. Then he tells them in Genesis 2 and verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. Tells them in Genesis 2, take care of the planet. Puts them in the garden to take care of it and dress it. And then in Genesis 2, 24 and 25, tells them how to share with one another. In other words, the first things God did for man was to make him aware of things outside of himself. They say now, Dion Prime, that a baby born human baby born, is so self-centered, he's not even aware of the presence of his hands. That's why you see babies. So self-contained, they're not even aware of the presence of their appendages. So God, in the beginning, makes man very aware, I'm leading you up to something, of things outside himself. Let me say that again. God makes you aware of things outside yourself. See, the purpose of salvation is to get you outside yourself. Notice what happened to the human race when they forgot the presence of God. Romans 1, which is the Genesis chapter of the New Testament. The story of creation and the fall of man is repeated in Romans 1. And man, this thing is dramatic. This thing is dramatic. Romans 1. Smiling is a term of the Bible. Me and Kelly had such a good time last week teasing each other. And if he was here, he'd be saying, see, Pastor, if you had your iPad, you could have found that text much faster. Romans 1. Look at this. 21. Now watch. Watch what happens now. Watch what happens when man forgets God. Remember, the first thing God did was to make him aware of God's presence, to bring man outside himself. Look what happens, time A. Look at verse 21. Read it with me. Because that when they knew God, what happened? Neither were, but became, that is, self-centered in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the Steve Hutchison, as soon as they became so self-centered that they forgot that God was first, that God was there above them and around them, the minute that happened, man's mind began to decay. See, selfishness is mental decay. Look at verse 22. Professing themselves to become wise, to be wise, they became fools. And then verse 23, having forgotten God, what did they do? Verse 23, everybody's reading, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Now they're making their own gods. Now, look at the result of forgetting God. Verse 24, wherefore, what happened? God gave them up to what? Uncleanness. The rest of the chapter is scary. It's the longest list of sin in the Bible. It's the longest list of sin in the Bible, and it's showing you how man decayed. Any day of your life, walking through the streets of this greater Washington DC area, any day of your life that you go about the day not conscious of God, that day is going to decay on you. The day will get worse and worse. See, the only thing that lifts you is the knowledge of God. It makes you want to be better than you are. I am somebody. I'm not supposed to be like this. I will not wallow in sin. And the consciousness of God, that I came from God, lifts me to that level. Is anybody listening to me today? You begin to decay. And we see the decay. Go back to Genesis 3. As soon as they buy the devil's lie, the two of them, they're going to be as gods now. Be as gods. We see all the wonderful things they had before, reflecting God, had a relationship with others, taking care of the earth, sharing and so forth. Then they sin. Verse 7 of Genesis 3, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were... Yeah, they were not like God. They were naked. So fig leaves, so forth and so on. And then, of course, verse 8, God walking in the cool of the day, and they hide themselves from God. Then verse 10, he, of course, is afraid. And then verse 12, he sells out his spouse. How was the Sabbath supposed to correct this? Let's spend the rest of our time now in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. The first phrase of the commandment says, let's say it together, remember the Sabbath day. Now, from this point forward, I'm just teaching, not trying to preach at all. Remember the Sabbath day. Would you agree with me that remembering is a mental act? So Sabbath keeping is intentional. What is it? That's right, Ananiah. Intentional. You don't just slide into Sabbath keeping. Why? Because Sabbath keeping is disanalogous with your week. Come on now. It's a change of flow, is it not? A change of purpose, is it not? When the sun sets on Friday, you have to make a conscious decision to stop some stuff. Is that not true? To turn off the TV. Unless it's something religious. Turn off the radio. Unless it's something religious. Change the books. So the remembering suggests that Sabbath keeping is a conscious decision. And if you'll note, because of the flow of the week, you have to make that conscious decision every week. Come on, y'all. Because if you just let the week flow, you look up and the Sabbath is upon you and you're not ready. You know what happens. Look up on Friday, you're scuffling, trying to get stuff done. Thank God the hour has gone back. The time has gone. Thank God. Oh, God, it ain't 6. It's 7. I mean, thank God. Well, it's not 7. It's 6. Thank God. Whatever. The devil has made the Sabbath inconvenient. Now, you know I'm telling the truth. Don't sit up there like you sitting around on Monday. Well, just can't wait for the Sabbath to come. No. You got Monday stuff to do and Tuesday stuff. Look up at Thursday. Oh, my God, Thursday. Now, folks, am I just talking facts? So the word remember has more to do with the fact God's afraid we forget it, Carlson. You have to make a decision. That the stuff you wanted to get done by the end of the week, you're not going to get it done because the Sabbath has come. You can't do that. You can't wash the clothes after the sun is set on Friday. You can't do that. I ain't got nothing to wear. Come on anyhow. Just sit in the back. If you ain't got no soap and perfume, then sit in the, we got a room back there somewhere for you. Come on anyhow! Remembering the Sabbath is an intentional decision where you choose to put God first. In other words, the Sabbath busts into your stuff. I love it! Makes me get my mind off self because now no matter what's going on, I'm going to stop now, Daryl. I'm going to stop now, Beatrice. I'm going to stop now and do Lisa what God wants. It makes me selfless when I'm tempted to be selfish. Changes the flow. The Sabbath is for me, but it's not about me. Think about it. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And the world we live in has made keeping the Sabbath holy highly inconvenient. I mean, Your jobs don't keep it. Your business may not keep it. Your entertainments don't recognize it. The public schools and universities don't observe it. And some of us, a few of us, have rationalized, you know where I'm going. So we're sitting in the university classroom on Sabbath. And rationalizing ourselves that God understands. What he understands is that you have put your convenience before his command. And we rationalize through this and then we wonder when we get these degrees why we don't prosper. The world we live in has made the Sabbath a problem. So to remember the Sabbath in the greater Washington, D.C. area in 2013 takes some backbone. Amen. One of my members came to me just a week ago. Been on the job for almost 30 years. And now here comes some Pharaoh who knows not Joseph. The man's boss now trying to impose, you need to come in. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, note the phrase, to keep it. To keep it. It does not say to make it holy. There's nothing you can do to make the Sabbath holy. He made it holy. Come on, y'all. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. He blessed it, sanctified it, didn't he? Rested on it. So it was made holy. So it says keep. That is, you have to maintain it the way it was given to you. You don't make the day holy. You simply keep it like God gave it to you. One thing my sons understand about dad's trucks and cars. When you get it, the tank is full, keep it full. Return it, come on y'all, return it the way you received it. And old dad's getting in, turn it on, looking at that needle. I want it the same spot. Now if you want it to go a little bit further, God bless you. But don't let it go this way. No, this thing is serious to me. You got to keep that thing. You got it shiny. Don't come talking about you went to the dump and you got mud on it. That's all right. That's all right. When you bring it, I don't care about the dump. You bring it to me, bring it like you got it. That means now you're going to fill it and you're going to wash it. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. God says, I have given you the Sabbath holy, sanctified, full of rest. Bring it to me that way. Don't bring me some sloppy Sabbath. Dirtied with your activity. Soiled with your lack of reverence. Bring me my day the way I gave it to you. Holy. That's why the Sabbath has to be on the seventh day. He gave it to us on the seventh. Keep it like I gave it. See, if you keep it on the first, that ain't how he gave it to you. He didn't give you no first day Sabbath. He gave you a seventh day Sabbath. Come on, somebody. Keep it like I gave it to you, holy, and the seventh. Bring it back to me, holy, and on the seventh. Six days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Now he makes the contrast, Deborah Sanford, between your stuff and his stuff. 6 days shalt thou labor. Work. Three jobs, two jobs, whatever what you want to do. Work your tongue out. Just work. Now some of us work too much. Don't know a thing about rest. Just work, work, work. And I find that thing amazing. And I'm a very busy person. But every now and then, you got to take a breather. Yeah. I did it the other Sabbath. Stayed home. I was sick, stayed home. And I missed y'all. Kinda. And I felt, you know, just kind of, just get away. Just. Somebody's listening to me. And so the Sabbath, he said, the week, 6 days I gave you, the seventh is mine. And he makes a contrast between what happens on your days and on his day. Do you see it? Your days are the days for work. We got young. God is practical, brother. You got mortgage and wife and kids. You got to take care of your business. So work. Work. And both are commands, by the way. That's why you folks, you don't get tired with somebody who don't believe in work. You know. And see, I'm an old-fashioned guy. See, if you can't find the job to fit your degree, McDonald's needs help. I'm sorry, folk. I just got to put it out there. McDonald's needs help. They're custodial jobs. They're car wash places. Don't tell me you can't find the job. Come see me. Cut my grass. No, folk. So both the commands, work, work, rest. Work your part. Rest because God is so practical. He knows if you're working, like some of y'all working, you need the Sabbath to restore. And don't just restore your body. Restore your mind. Get the cobwebs out of your mind. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now, this is an important issue. The Lord thy God. What does that mean? How does that affect your attitude? On Tuesday night of the revival, Pastor Kelly talked about the importance of acknowledging the Lord. Remember that? A wonderful sermon. Wonderful sermon. And he pointed out the two Greek words, the Greek and the Hebrew word, particularly that Greek word, genosko, acknowledging, experiencing. It's important on the Sabbath to experience the Lord. Okay? Now, I'm going to bother you. How you keep the Sabbath is a reflection of your experience with the Lord. And you see, Jermaine, this is why, and I made a decision, no more again is this pastor, CPC, going to get on you all about being reverent in church. Your irreverence is a reflection of your experience in the Lord. Plus, it ain't you ain't going to change nothing. You will reverence God in this house when your relationship with God draws from you reverence. And until you have that relationship, we can set up all kind of don't chew gum, don't bring your kids in here with candy and crack. We can say all kind of stuff, but all you're doing is reflecting your level of closeness to God. And if it's not close, then you're not conscious of His holy, magnificent character. So naturally you can come in church and sit and talk about cars and dresses and feed your kids candy in church. Why? That's your level of connection to God. Not going to fuss anymore in the summertime about the ladies and men walking here with stuff on that ought not ever be worn in church. When you come in with your chest hanging out and your hips hanging out and your legs hanging out and your arms hanging out, you're reflecting your connection with God. I can't help you. So those speeches are over. just going to pray for you. Walk in looking like you're looking and say, well, there's an announcement. They and God are like this. Come on. Because when you're close to God, then you wouldn't dare put on anything and walk in church that would distract anybody else that's closest to God. You just won't put it on. It's the Sabbath of the Lord God. It's your day. We don't care what new suit you bought, a new dress you bought. Sabbath is not about displaying you. It's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So now, when you come in displaying your lack of relationship, I'm just going to pray for you. And say, well, at least they came. Well, at least they're here. At least they're here. Maybe some word, some song, you know, covered with his life. Maybe there'll be a conversion moment. You're singing covered and you look down at yourself. In it thou shalt not do any work. And it goes further. I'm almost done. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant. The Sabbath teaches selflessness. See, the same blessing that you receive in rejoicing and worshiping the Lord on Sabbath, God now wants you to share that with everybody around you. Do you see it? It's a beautiful commandment. The Sabbath is evangelistic. It includes the stranger within your gates. I have such interesting conversations with my neighbors who now have seen for years me getting up, Sabbath, getting on out. And it's amazing how now they respect the fact. They respect the fact. Little Luke, who was just a little boy when we first moved there, he's now a teenager. And he cuts grass, so forth and so on. So he came by and made me his offer for the spring, for the summer. He said, now, Reverend, you know, I won't be cutting your grass on Saturday. The stranger, come on, y'all, within thy gates. I said, well, Luke, I appreciate that. He said, no. So my mother and father told me, he said, don't touch his yard. You know, people can be so naive. I had come home and I had dropped my case and stuff out in the driveway, just dropped it, stumbling and bumbling, tired from preaching. And so here comes my neighbor, runs and picks up me. He said, I know you. You can't work. You can't work. I'll get this for you. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice? Yeah, the stranger. Wasn't that nice? Yeah. I said, it's not that deep. Not that deep. I said, I can carry my cases in the house. Well, I want you to break your Sabbath. He said to me, I don't want you to break your Sabbath. Are you listening to the pastor? No, the stranger, nor the maidservant. The Sabbath teaches you to be selfless. Are you listening to me, church? Why? Because the Sabbath leads to the ultimate celebration. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. If there's nothing that goes on in your life on this day, let there at least be a moment when you bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, for all his benefits. Bless the Lord. Give him glory for all that he has done. Take yourself outside yourself, outside your problems, outside your issues, outside your fears, and turn your mind toward the God who supplies you, and just bless his holy name. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember it to keep it holy. Isn't that something? Let's say the commandment together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within. For in the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. And how? Did you pay attention to the fact that in that list, it doesn't mention the spouse? Doesn't mention the spouse. You know why? The twain are one. Son, daughter, doesn't mention the spouse. They're one. God figures if you married right and you keeping it, they keeping it. I offer you today a fresh look at the fourth commandment. God had one thing in mind. One day a week to get you outside yourself and into Him. Don't you think we owe Him that? Come on, folk. Do we owe Him that? Thank God for the Sabbath. Sing it.
The Lord hath come and blessed upon the weak the brightest, upon the weak the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. It
bow your head with me. I've looked forward to this sharing this simple sermon with you, just a simple sermon about this precious gift of the Sabbath. It could well be, though, that there's someone who's been visiting us, and attending with us, coming here on Saturday, what it's been to you, and you're learning it's the Sabbath, and you'd like to declare yourself today on God's side. You're not ready yet to join CPC, but you want to be a Sabbath keeper. So if you're already a Sabbath keeper, this appeal is not for you. I'm going to assume that having heard this message, if you're already a Sabbath keeper, you already decided in your pew you're going to be more faithful to that. We'll settle that. You already made that decision. But for the person who really hasn't been a Sabbath keeper, you'd like to know more about the Sabbath. Don't want to join a church, but you, the Sabbath, you can't escape it. And you want to claim the Sabbath, God's Sabbath, as a part of your life. While the church is praying, I'd like to see if that person is here and if they would just come up here and stand with me, acknowledging that you accept the Sabbath. Is there someone here like that today? It's kind of a different appeal, not the usual kind of an appeal. That person here today? Want to claim the Sabbath. It's going to be a part of my life. haven't been doing that. Just keep praying. Don't look around. Just pray. Pray. It's a personal thing. Lady, are you coming? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor Smith? Yeah. God bless you. There. Somebody else want to come? Sabbath is going to be mine. Maybe just for Bible studies, but at least I know this truth is something that I want to accept. Somebody else want to get up and make that decision today? That's what I call answered prayer. Because I called your name today in prayer, my brother. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Pastor's happy. I called that brother's name in prayer today. Somebody else going to claim the Sabbath is yours. It's one of the most powerful teachings in the Bible. That's why Satan hates it. It connects you with your God. You sure you want to just sit there and not at least claim the Sabbath? Not asking you to join the church. Just claim the Sabbath. Claim the Sabbath. Somebody else? Father God, I thank you. We in many ways, Lord, the Sabbath is really too deep for us. There's a lot of stuff going on this day that we haven't even gotten close to yet. But we get the taste of it. We like it. We know we need it. We know that. We know we need it. So today, Lord, we thank you for this simple word. There was not one new thing said about the Sabbath. It hadn't been said before. But it felt good to talk about it and smile about it, laugh at ourselves about it. And then thank you for it. It felt good as Sabbath keepers to just talk about this great gift today and ask you to strengthen us. That grace that Carlson so powerfully presented today in the Sabbath school lesson that will empower us. My subject today was, are there any Sabbath keepers? Well, Lord, by your grace, here we are. We present ourselves to you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Did you enjoy that word today? Yes. It's simple and good for us. Wonderful. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Community Praise Center Alexandria, Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please visit us at www.cpcsda.org and use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and look forward to you joining us again next week. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.